welcome. So we're going to be talking about identifying your dream career. And congratulations, because by the very fact that you're listening to this indicates that you've embarked upon a really important journey, and that's the search to find a happier and a more fulfilling career. So no matter what kind of transformation you're seeking, whether it's to move up in your current company or to find a different job in the same field, or if you want to change industries altogether and do something completely different, this course is designed to help you unravel what you want and to provide you with the tools to begin charting a new path. Does that sound good? All right, then let's begin. When you're looking to reinvent your career, obviously identifying what you want is the first place to begin. But there are three points that you have to understand as the basis of the beginning of the career reinvention. And the first point that you really must understand is that you have to know what your purpose is for changing your career. So before you even begin, you've got to understand what your purpose is for changing your career. You have to give it some thought and think, is this about lifestyle? Are you changing your career because you want to make a change in how you're living and do something different? Or are you looking to change your career because you're searching for more money? Yeah, it could be about money. Or is changing your career about pursuing a long-held talent or an interest or a passion that you have, looking for some more connection in what you do on a day-to-day basis? Or are you seeking meaning and impact on the world? That could be another reason that you're looking to change your career. But no matter what, it's important to take time to think about all the reasons that you're looking to make a change. The reason for this is that reinventing your career can be a very long and sometimes bumpy path. So identifying your purpose is going to help you keep your perspective in the midst of all the change. It's going to help you remember why you even embarked upon this path and keep you going through the rough spots. Now, there's a workbook associated with this course, so I ask you to take a moment to answer the question, why do I want to reinvent myself? What is it I'm seeking? So take a moment to actually think about that and ask yourself why you want to reinvent your career and what it is you're seeking. Now, the second point that you have to understand when you begin identifying your dream career to reinvent yourself is that you have to understand that it's really not about the money. Now, we said in the previous point to ask yourself, is this about the money? But even if you're seeking to have more money, in truth, it's not about the money. Now, why can I say this? I know it's a really radical statement, but you have to take a moment to consider this. Money, in fact, is something that we always believe will make a big difference in our level of happiness. Okay, so it's a common belief that the more money we have, the happier we'll be. But the truth is that numerous studies have shown that wealth and happiness don't necessarily go hand in hand. Once our survival needs are met, in other words, we have enough to keep a roof over our head and to eat and to take care of our basic needs, having extra money actually doesn't buy much more happiness. So the question really is, why do we think having money will make us happier? That's because when we reach a certain level of earnings, money moves from being a means of survival to being a signifier. Okay, this is what I call a signifier. Now, a signifier is an idea or a concept that stands for something else in your mind. A signifier is an idea or a concept that represents something else in your mind. For example, money can represent security to you, or it can mean more freedom, or it can be power. For others, money can mean time or status, or something else entirely. But what's understood is that it's an abstract concept that represents something that is actually of more importance to us. Now, why you need to understand what your signifier is that you know what you're looking for when you seek to reinvent your career. If you think it's only about the money and you get more money, but in fact it's not about the money, you'll end up being unhappy. Okay, so it's important to know your money signifier, because by understanding your money signifier, you can avoid potential pitfalls and you can begin your career reinvention path knowing clearly what you're looking for. So potential conflicts that could happen if you don't understand your money signifier is that you'll accept a promotion, but you'll be miserable because it causes you to work too many hours. And what you really wanted by having more money was to have more time. Or you'll take a job for a big bump in salary at a competitor that's known for layoffs, but despite the pay raise, you'll feel constant anxiety because what you were really seeking was security, and you thought if you had more money, you'd have more security. So when money is one of the reasons that you're reinventing career, the key is to understand what that money represents to you. And by doing so, it will help you to ensure that your next position, your new career, delivers for real what you think that bigger paycheck represents. So take a moment now to look at your workbook and to write down what your money signifier is. So in other words, what you think more money will bring to you, what it represents to you. And sometimes that can even be more than one thing. So if you come up with more than one idea, put that down as well. And sometimes what I recommend is that you take that signifier, security, time, or power, and you break that down even further and say, what did those represent to me? What did those actually mean to me? What does having more time mean? Because again, that differs from person to person. For somebody who works 80 hours a week, working 60 hours a week means more time. For another person who's looking to retire, perhaps working 3 days a week as opposed to five, it means having more time. So again, having more time, understanding what that really means for you. So the more you take your signifiers and distill them down to what they mean for you, the higher your chances of getting what it is you seek through this career reinvention. Now, point number three deals with understanding some myths that you might hold around your new career. What you have to understand is to find your dream, you have to give up your myths. I know, a scary point, huh? But in order to have your dream, you have to give up your myths. Now, we're not talking about the kind of myths that were in Greek gods or anything like that. Within the world of career reinvention, a myth is an unrealistic idea that you have in your mind about how things will be when you reach your new job. For example, a common career reinvention myth is, when I get my new job, my life will be perfect, or all my problems will be solved, or I'll be happy, or I won't have any more money worries. Oftentimes you won't even know that you have a myth. It just shows up as a feeling, pressure, or sometimes just unhappiness or misery, just because you're not there yet. There in quotation marks. Now, there are lots of problems with career reinvention myths. Number one is that they cause your goals to carry so much baggage that your dreams can't possibly support that weight. Too many heavy expectations. And what that can do is it can cause you to give up before you reach your goal because you think it's not possible. So myths, really can help add a lot of weight to the work that you need to do as you're going along your career reinvention path. And sometimes our dreams, especially when they're new, can't take that type of weight. It can't take that kind of pressure. So it can cause you to quit when you're halfway down the road because you think it's not possible, which is actually true. The goal itself could be attainable, but the reality can't possibly live up to the myth that you have around it. So if you have this myth that, oh, my life is going to be perfect and all my problems are going to be solved when I reach this, you may understand that the reality can't live up to solving all the problems and having a perfect life, and so you get discouraged. Another problem with career reinvention myths is that holding a myth can also set you up for disappointment. You can reach your goal and find out that you're still unhappy. For example, I thought I'd be happy, but I'm not. So you can go through a long path and climb all the big walls and mountains and get over all the hurdles and finally arrive and then find out that you're still unhappy. And that's usually a cause of having a career reinvention myth. Third way that a myth can cause problems is that they can blind you to your areas of improvement. Now, by assuming that your new career is going to fix whatever problems you experienced in your last job, you may not recognize that the things within yourself that might be needing some change. So if you assume that your career reinvention is going to fix whatever problems you've had in your past career, it may cause you not to recognize what things you need to change in order to have your new situation run more smoothly. The result of that is that you end up repeating whatever a problem that you assumed your new job was going to resolve. Now, I had a former client come to me because she felt unappreciated in her current position. And she, in fact, had switched careers several times successfully. In fact, she'd had a number of very successful positions, but she kept running into the same problem. And so she came to me and said, well, I want to change careers again because I've done this and I feel unappreciated. And I want to make sure that this next go-round, I'm not going to feel unappreciated. So I want to pick the right career so that I don't feel that. Well, in fact, that was a career reinvention myth that this particular client was holding, because the idea was that if she found the right career, then she would be appreciated. But in fact, it had to do with the dynamics of what she was doing within her current career that were causing these feelings of being unappreciated. And the past careers as well. So it was just a pattern, in fact, that she needed to change, not necessarily her whole career. But the idea of, oh, I'm going to find something and it's going to solve this problem, blinded her to the fact that there was something within her behavior that needed to shift rather than her entire career. So if you continually experience the same stuff happening in job after job, chances are you have a myth that's blocking you from seeing that it's not the job that needs changing, it's a pattern within yourself that must change. Now, another problem with a career reinvention myth is that by holding on to myths, you can also miss seeing what you could do right now that would make your life better. And I refer to that as the I'll be happy when syndrome. Now, that can cause you to have a bad attitude or to put off your happiness. I'll be happy when this happens. So by holding on to this myth, you're not necessarily looking at what you do right now to make you happy. And as we all know, it's easier to create and pursue our dreams when we're feeling happy as opposed to when we're feeling like we're not enough or we're not making enough progress. So the key is to understand that when you concentrate on improving your life right now, new paths open up, unexpected opportunities can present themselves, new energy can flow in, and because you're feeling better about yourself and your life, your chances of achieving the change you seek can increase exponentially. So now you might want to take a moment and really think about and write down three myths that you're holding about your career reinvention. See where you might be holding some myths and how they might be impacting what it is that you're looking to achieve. Now, there are five dream career principles that you also have to know about in order to effectively identify your dream career. Okay? And these are the things that you must begin to use as your framework as you work to identify what your dream career is going to be. Now, the first principle of this is that your dream career is one that creates a life that you really love. Now, it might seem strange to talk about life in a career reinvention course, but there's a reason for that. One of the things that we tend to forget is that our career is meant to deliver the life that we want to live. We in the United States have gotten this very switched around. We believe that our career is our life. Whereas overseas, in Europe in particular, they've got it switched the correct way where it's about creating a life. So you have to understand that your happiness in your career is directly tied to how well your job helps you create the life that you want to live. A lot of people think that, oh, well, when I'm happy in my career, I'll be happy in the rest of my life. But that's not true. Because if that career doesn't help you create the life that you want to be living, you will always feel conflicted, you'll feel unhappy. So it's very, very, very important to understand that the principle of having your dream career and identifying your dream career starts with identifying the life that you want to live. Now, pulling this down to an actual exercise, the best way to begin identifying this dream career is to start with a life vision. It may seem daunting, but don't despair. The best way to create a life vision is just to start by imagining what your ideal day might be like. So take a moment and think about, what's your ideal day like? So you wake up in the morning, where are you? What does the room look like? Who's with you? Visualize all these details and make them real. Now you get up and you get started with your day. What do you do? Do you have a leisurely breakfast with your family on a sunny patio? Or do you go for a long run? Or do you roll down to your home office and check out the latest headlines online? It's your day, so start it in whatever way makes you happiest. After that, you begin work. Now don't panic here. You don't have to know exactly what you're doing. Just know that you begin work and decide what that looks like for you. Do you leave your home to go to an office filled with people? Or do you head off to a quiet writing studio in your backyard? Or do you go to a sunny loft and greet your small team? Is the environment in your office intense and invigorating? Is it relaxed and laid back? Or is it creative and a bit crazy? Just think about, what do you find when you walk in to work? And what do you want? What's the thing that makes you the happiest? What kind of environment? How many people do you want around you? What are you doing and how are you interacting? Now think about what the tasks might be, but not specific. Are you on the phone, talking to lots of people? Are you having meetings? Are you planning trips because you travel a lot for business? So this is a rare day in the office where you're setting up new meetings and planning the next jaunt. Or are you in front of your computer communicating that way, or programming perhaps? So again, think about how you want in your ideal day to spend your time. Then take it a step further. What do you do for lunch? Do you go to a new restaurant with your coworkers? Do you read a book in the park? Do you go for a quick bike ride? So you continue visualizing the details of your day and take a moment and write these down in your workbook. Now, once you've outlined your ideal day, you can then expand this into your ideal life. You might want to consider things like, how much travel do you do? How much time off do you want? Where do you want to be located? What other kinds of lifestyle things would you like to have in your ideal life? So create this vision and make it rich, make it detailed, make it exciting. This becomes the first basis point for identifying your dream career, having a very clear, detailed picture of the kind of life that you want to be living. Now, principle number two builds upon this. because it states that your goals for your career must be consistent with what you say you want in your life. So principle number two says that your goals for your career must be consistent with what you say you want in your life. So now you've got this very detailed and gorgeous vision, but you have to check to see, are your goals for your career consistent and congruent with the life that you've envisioned? I advised someone once who got offered a very glamorous marketing director job. Now, they were head of marketing for an entertainment company, a very well-known entertainment company, and had a good job and liked it, but then got offered the creme de la creme jobs of that ilk in the industry, of that level in the industry. And so really was very excited about this opportunity because it meant that as the marketing director, they'd be able to hobnob with all kinds of celebrities and, again, a lot of cachet with being associated with that particular organization. But this particular person realized that they had young children at home, and they really wanted to spend time with their young children. And making that type of change to this very glamorous marketing director job would have meant that they needed to travel, that they had to work long hours, that they would have had to prove themselves within a new organization, whereas they'd been at their current position for a number of years, so they already had a lot of goodwill and respect built up within the organization. So at the end of the day, in going through and laying out all the pros and cons, I helped this person understand that, in fact, even though from a career perspective it sounded like this would be the next step, the ideal step, that in fact making that shift would not have delivered the life that this person was looking for, because it was very important to them to spend time with their children and to be there for their family. So in the end, that opportunity did not deliver the life that this person was looking to lead. And this is the type of analysis that you will have to make, and that will help you make sure that your life and your career are congruent. So now what you'll want to do, in a way to really make this happen, is to take that vision that we talked about just a moment ago and to brainstorm 7 to 10 jobs that could deliver that vision for your ideal day or your ideal life. Or if you already had a target job in mind, see whether or not that target job could deliver your ideal day, or are there conflicts? This is a very valuable exercise because it will show you what's going on and whether or not your vision for your career is in harmony with your vision for your life. And if the two are not in harmony, then you will know what areas where you may need to make some adjustments or some compromises. And that takes us to principle number three, is that you must be realistic about the trade-offs for your dream career. So principle number three is that you must be realistic about the trade-offs for your dream career. We always talk about having it all in this culture, but in fact, we can't have it all. Or as they say, we can have it all, just not all at the same time. So back to the example that I spoke about previously, the marketing head, marketing VP, could have had that next level marketing job, but not at the same time as having young children and not do both well or to the level that they wanted to do. So they had to be realistic about the trade-offs of what they were making. I also had a potential client come to me once, and I'll call her Sally, and she came to me because she was dissatisfied because she wanted to earn more money. Okay. Now, she was VP of sales in a big New York City company, earning not quite six figures. But she felt dissatisfied because she'd been at her company for a while, and while she was making, you know, nice money, she felt like she should be making more money comparatively. And as we started to speak, and I asked her about what she liked about her current position, it became clear that one of the things she really enjoyed is that she basically worked from 9 to 5. Now, for those of you who are familiar with work practices in New York City in particular, you know how unusual a 9-to-5 job is in that market. People tend to work long hours. But she had a 9-to-5 job. And so as we started to speak about the new steps that she wanted to take, I asked her if she'd gone out and interviewed in other companies for similar jobs, and she did. And she said, but the thing is that they want me to work more hours, and I don't want to do that. I want to earn more money, but I want to keep my 9-to-5. This is a person who wasn't willing to be realistic about the trade-offs for the dream she was seeking to pursue, and continually got a certain amount of feedback that, hey, if you want this level, you're going to have to work for it. And in fact, I said, do you know anybody that earns the salary that you're looking to earn that works 9-to-5? And she said, no. And I said, so then, is it realistic to expect that you will get this salary and still work 9-to-5? The answer to that question, of course, is no. And so then the next question became, well, what are you willing to trade off? So this is the kind of thing that you really have to ask yourself. You must be realistic and decide what you're willing to trade off in order to have your dream career, or what you're not willing to trade off and therefore will have to give on the career side. As a career coach, I've also come across people who will need new skills and training for their target career but are unwilling to do that. Or that sometimes the transition will take more than 6 months or a year. It can take a while depending upon what it is they're looking to do, but they're not willing to spend the time that it'll take to make the full transition. But the bottom line is that if you're not willing to do what it takes, then it's not your dream career. So take a moment to identify the trade-offs associated with the jobs that you brainstormed earlier and the life vision that you created. What kind of trade-offs might there be that you have to make? And are you willing to do it? Are you willing to go for new skills or training, or to put in the time that it takes, or to change your hours, or these kinds of things? Now, to build upon that point, principle number 4 is to diversify your dreams. You must diversify your dreams. What this means is, don't be so specific that there's only one path to your goal. Keep it broad. Now, the way you do this is by understanding the bigger qualities that you seek from your dream career. For example, oftentimes people will come to me and say, I want to be in movies. I love movies and I want to do something with movies because I work with a lot of entertainment clients. And I go back to them and I say, does it have to be just the movies? Or could it be any form of filmed entertainment, like videos or television? Again, broadening the qualities that you're seeking opens the amount of possibilities that can help deliver the dream career and the dream life that you seek. I have an example of this from my own personal experience. When I was getting my graduate degree, I decided that I wanted to work for Citibank. No other organization but Citibank, because I wanted to be a relationship banker based in South America, and they did that the best. And as I tried to network my way in, I was finding that it was very difficult to get this very specific dream that I had. So after a lot of false starts and stops, I decided to broaden my search and to look for the components of what did I want about the Citibank job? What was it? And I realized that I was seeking things like I wanted to have some interaction with the Latin American market because that was a passion of mine. And at the time, I wanted to be involved in finance because I found that interesting. And I wanted to work for a New York City-based organization because I loved the city. And I wanted to work for a big organization because I wanted to have some some ability to move around and do different opportunities with them. So now I had a profile of four broader qualities. With that, I then very quickly identified another opportunity, which ended up being my first career job on Wall Street. It ended up being on the financial information side, not, as I thought, directly dealing with the clients. It did, in fact, deal with the Latin American market. It was a major organization, but in fact, the core business wasn't finance. It was the finance division of a major media organization, but I still got my whole finance aspect. And because it was a major organization, I had room to change. So when I broadened my quality set that I was looking for, I found a position, and the position was based in New York City. So with the position being based in New York City, I got that final piece as well. So the lesson is that when I broadened my idea of what I was seeking, it was much simpler to find a job that could deliver that dream that I wanted. So you have to diversify your dreams. Again, don't be so specific that there's only one path to your goal. Identify the broader qualities that you seek from your dream career and create a profile for them, and then use that as your guide to evaluate opportunities. So now what you'll want to do in your workbook is to analyze this brainstorm list of jobs that you did and reduce it to five core components. What are the common themes that really excite you about that? And then use that as your profile. Now, the final principle for identifying your dream career is to understand that it's not just about what you want, it's also about what you have to offer. Okay? It's not just about what you want, it's about what you have to offer. When you're making this type of career reinvention switch, in some ways it means asking someone to take a chance on you. So this means that you need to offer something to them that will help them achieve the goals that they're seeking. Make it worth their while, in other words, to take this chance on you. Now, the way that you do this is by identifying what types of job skills you have to offer to your new career. And there are basically three kinds of job skills. The first one is what's called adaptive. And those are just general personality traits, like I'm detail-oriented or enthusiastic or a team player. Those are adaptive ones that are very, very general personality traits. The second type of job skill are those that are transferable. And those are skills that are used in a wide variety of jobs. Examples can include things like managing people, managing budgets, writing or negotiating or public speaking. Again, these are skills that are used in a wide variety of jobs, so they're easily transferable from one particular role or industry into another. The third type of job skill are those that are job specific. And these are skills that you need in order to perform a particular job. So, for example, if you want to become a chef, you need to learn to cook. Or if you want to become a pilot, you have to learn how to fly a plane. Or if you wish to become a carpenter, you need to learn how to build things. So, again, job-specific skills are those that are needed to perform a particular job. Now, the key is to take a look at your background and identify the three types of job skills that you have. The adaptive job skills, the personality traits that you have, the transferable skills, ones that you've used that can easily transfer to other types of jobs or industries, and then the job-specific skills that you might have as well, because they may come in a different way. So you want to now take a moment and identify the skills and talents that you have to offer in your new career. And by doing so, this will give you the base to begin crafting your plan to launch yourself into a new career. But again, if you don't identify what you have to offer, it's going to be very difficult to make the transition. This is the most important point to understand about identifying your dream career. Once you understand what it is that you're seeking, you also have to understand what it is that you bring to the table. So it's a two-part process. Now, I want to say something in terms of some action steps that you will have to take in order to identify your dream career. What's important to understand as you're identifying your dream career is that you will need to take some action and that you'll need to test your ideas. This is a very important point. All of the things that we've discussed so far have been analyzation and thinking about different things, but at some point you'll have to get out into the real world and start testing your ideas. This is a very important phase, and I urge you not to skip it. Again, this can help forestall any disappointment down the road. Again, a myth of saying, oh, when I get this, I'm going to love it, and then you get there and you find out that perhaps you don't love it. So, in fact, testing your ideas in the real world will help make sure that it's something that you enjoy doing when you actually arrive there. Now, the question is, how do you actually test your ideas? There are lots of different ways. You can go and volunteer. I think volunteering is a great way, especially if you're already employed and not willing to leave your current position. Then volunteering is a wonderful way to get some skills developed, in fact, and to test out whether or not you're interested in a particular industry or a particular role. So there are lots of nonprofits that are out there that perhaps can be in your area or field that you're seeking to target. And so go and find them and start to volunteer what skills and talents you currently have, and let them know that you're looking to develop some more skills and talents. Another very good thing about this particular strategy and going out this way is that you also begin to make connections in those areas in your new target market. And as we'll discuss in another class, making these kinds of connections can be very valuable to helping you make this transition. So going out and volunteering can help you test whether or not this is something that you're interested in doing. Internships are another way of testing. If you are free and between gigs at the moment, go out and see if perhaps you can intern for a month or two at a company and see what perhaps they can help you, or even from a project perspective, if you are sort of a mid-career changer and you don't want to go back to being an intern because in that particular industry you're targeting interns start out from college. So go out and offer to work on a project, perhaps for free or for a nominal amount, and see if that's another way of being able to enjoy and learn about what it is you're looking to do. Now, if you are currently in a position and you don't have time to volunteer, you can do something like Vocation Vacations, which is a week where you get to test drive your dream career. They have lots of different things there. Or another way of doing this without taking time yourself is to go out and to network with people who are currently in your target career and find out from them what it's all about. This is not as ideal as actually doing it yourself, but you will learn a lot and you'll start to be able to make assessments about your own preferences based upon all the information that you learn. So this is the final action step that you'll want to take as you're identifying your dream career, going out there and starting to test the ideas that you come up with. Now, in closing, you're going to want to take time to think about these points that'll help you identify your dream career. In the beginning, you want to start by understanding your purpose for changing your career and realize that it's not about the money and identify what your money signifiers are. Then what you're going to want to do is to give up your myths, identify your myths, and decide, okay, time to work through those and clear those myths out. And then you'll want to understand the five dream career principles. So understanding that your dream career is one that creates a life that you love, that your goals for your career must be consistent with what you say you want in your life, then that you must be realistic about the trade-offs for your dream career, and number four, that you want to diversify your dreams, and then number five, that it's not just about what you want, it's also about what you have to offer. So thinking about these points are going to help you identify your dream career. Now, how will you know if you're on the right track? You'll know if your ideas speak to your heart, if you're excited, if what you come across makes you thrilled and a little bit scared, or if you feel a sense of fulfillment. If what you're exploring doesn't bring these feelings to you, then dream bigger. Don't be afraid to stretch yourself and create a picture that seems almost scary in its possibility to make you happy and feel thrilled about your life. Just remember that, as Les Brown says, if you shoot for the moon and you miss, at least you land among the stars. So, are there any questions? I know Tammy Sue, if you have any questions, or if anybody else has joined us in the interim, if they have any questions.
Yes, I do actually. I do have questions.
Great.
Okay. Yes, great. You were saying that the myth, of course, that we can't have the myth, and you know, we need to be able to improve and changing our life and all that type of stuff. You're also talking about the list of what you want. Like, when you get up in the morning, you have coffee, read the newspaper, et cetera, et cetera. You arrive at work and lunch, and you go out for a restaurant for an hour or whatever. So, and I was just feeling like there was just a conflict with the myth and your dream of what your dream job is. It seems like those two things are a conflict because if you're having that dream, then that dream of what you want for your life, that could be a myth. So can you explain the differences in those two exactly?
Okay, so what I hear you saying is that if you come up with a dream for your job, that you feel that could be a myth because what that ideal day might be might not be realistic. Is that what you're saying around this?
Yeah.
Okay. All right, so then the key is how big are you willing to dream? Because many times what has happened in our lives is that we dream according to what we believe is possible. But if we actually look to the world, we'll see that other people are living ways that we wish we could live. And many times the difference between that is that they gave themselves permission to live a particular way, but we did not give ourselves permission because we came up a particular way, or we think that they have something that we don't have, or something along those lines. But I say that if you have an ideal day vision, that it's absolutely possible to have your dream career deliver that if you start with the ideal day. Now, if your dream career doesn't deliver that day, then that means you have one of two things going on. Number one, you're not being realistic about what your career entails. So therefore, for example, if you say, I want to have control over my time, but I want to be an obstetrician and deliver babies, well, then you're not being realistic about that, what that entailed. Or on the other side, if you're saying, well, you know, it's not possible for me to have this life, that's an issue of belief. Whether or not you truly believe that you can have the life that you want. And I would say to that, again, somebody in the world is having the life that you want. So why not you? Many times the only difference is that they said, it's possible for me to have this life and I'm going to work to have this life. So if you think that it's not possible, I would then encourage you to look to your world and to the bigger world for what I call mentors, life mentors, people who are living that way and seeing what they're doing and how they created that life. And if you can talk to them about how they created that life and what the trade-offs are and all of these things. So you'll get a real clear picture of what's going on for them and how they made that happen. Does that help?
Oh, yes, I understand. Yes, yes. Yeah, I was just wondering because, I don't know, I was just, it just really kind of impacted me, what you said. Some people have been raised in different ways or as based on, you know, what their belief system is or whatever. And again, you know, and then, you know, they appear happy, but they may not really be happy in their real life. So, you know, we're always looking at other people and, you know, they may be looking at me saying, thinking that I'm no happy and they're wishing that they had what I have.
Exactly. Exactly. You hit the nail right on the head.
Yeah. And another question, in my career, you know, I have this vision sometimes, but I do have fear. What if, you know, I won't make it? What if, you know, I'm not able to be skillful enough to do that? You know, what if I'm not going to be able to actually do it or get what people are saying? You know, I guess I just have a lot of fears associated with that. I think that I'm scared about my happiness being dependent upon my ability to be successful in my career, and I don't want my fears to stop me from being successful, but I don't know. But I feel like, you know, and what I'm doing now, I feel so bored. I feel so not being used, and I don't know how to balance what I want my life to be, as opposed to where I'm currently going. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Yep. So there are two points really in what you're saying. One is the fear aspect of it, and just, you know, the very natural fears that come up when embarking upon this kind of a process, which is about change and about life change. So it is, you know, it produces a lot of anxiety. There's a lot of unknowns, and it's like, okay, what's going to happen when I make these changes? So that whole part, you know, around fear, which is its own whole class of itself, to be quite honest. But to tell you that that's normal, that's part of the process, and, you know, that there are certain things that you can do to help manage the fear. A lot of it has to do with just becoming more familiar with what's going on, reminding yourself that, you know, you have felt fear before, that you have learned and overcome things in the past, and that just as you've done that in the past, you will continue to do it in the future. To talk to people and help you work through your fears, you know, have a buddy system. All of these things can help you overcome your fears. The other point that you brought up around this, which is a really important point, has to do with happiness. You said very clearly that you don't want your happiness in life to be dependent upon being successful in your career. And that is absolutely a healthy and correct attitude to have around this because, again, that becomes a big pitfall when we make our whole life happiness dependent on career. So there are a couple of Harvard professors that have done some interesting writings on this, and they have a theory called Just Enough. And their premise is that our happiness basically deals with our feelings or our level of success in four main categories. One being significance, one being legacy, one being achievement, and one being, I always forget the fourth one. It'll come to me. But nonetheless, what happens with those is that the premise is that oftentimes we make our career, our level of success, all about achievement. Okay? It's all about achievement. And then we set ourselves up for failure because we've put it all into achievement, and therefore there's nothing else that can possibly satisfy us. Whereas if we look at our life as a kaleidoscope, then we understand that if we have enough wins in each of the categories, then we'll feel much happier and more fulfilled. So, for example, rather than making it all about achievement, it can be about significance. And that would mean perhaps, for example, if you're the first person in your family to go to college, college can be an achievement because you've achieved that. Many other people don't achieve that. But it can also be about significance because it has meaning within the context of your family. Or something about legacy. If you think about your career in terms of leaving a legacy for people rather than having it always be about achievement, that can cause you to be happier with your choices, to say, well, you know, it's not just about reaching this particular level, it's really about helping people make their lives better. So again, broadening the definition of what brings happiness, and then in looking at it in this holistic way, there are many more opportunities for wins. And you know, again, it can take some of that pressure off of having to climb to the tip of the mountain every single time. It's about having just enough in all the areas. Okay, do you have one final question you'd like to ask?
Yeah, I was just thinking, like here in America, you know, we look at people in America, you know, we look at them as whether they're happy or whether they're satisfied with their life and with their job. People always, in their mind, they always look at money first.
Mm-hmm.
They always look at, it's a competition, you know, I'm better than you, type of attitude. And, you know, and how is that, and we think about how that can make us become more successful. And it just seems like it's so competitive.
Yes, you're right. And so changing that attitude, even though our culture has that particular attitude, we ourselves don't have to live by that attitude. And sometimes it takes a lot of thought and a lot of energy to break ourselves out of that mold. But when we do, we find much deeper resonance and meaning to our lives and a deeper sense of fulfillment and pleasure in what we're doing when we get off that rat race, that treadmill that the culture has put for us. Great. So thank you so much. It was truly a pleasure to have you as a part of this course this evening. And we will be doing one tomorrow night on reinvention materials, and then one on Thursday night on launching, actually, a reinvention strategy plan. So I hope you'll join us for both of those. And again, thank you so, so much.
Thank you so much for your time. I really appreciate it. I really enjoyed it.
Great. Thank you so much.